Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I don't know what happened there either, but it's me here on the program. And I do want to get to this on the program live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. So the top 10 quarterbacks list is out at ESPN.com. Again, this is not ESPN's list. ESPN has compiled the list. I say this every year these things come out because it's inevitable that one of these lists comes out. They talk to coach and scouts and executives, and it is inevitable that somebody will say, well, I don't care what ESPN says. They've gone woke. They don't count. It's like, this isn't ESPN's opinion. This is an ESPN compiled list. So the top 10 quarterback list is out. Again, the top 10 list has been a wake-up call. If some of you true blue sunshine pumping Titan fans have your head up your rear end, this should be a wake-up call, because outside of Jeffrey Simmons, who ranks as the fourth defensive tackle in the league, there has not been any Titans players that have made this list. Only one honorable mention outside of Simmons, and it was Skoronski at guard, the least important position. Which, by the way, if you draft a guard 11th overall, and 2 years, 3 years into his career, he's not even a top 10 player, he's an honorable mention, that is a disaster of a pick, which is the case with the Skoronski pick. But I digress. Today, the quarterback list came out. I don't think the top four should surprise anybody. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson. No surprise there to me. But then at number five, Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders. And I was a little surprised because he was ahead of Matthew Stafford, who was six. And I do feel like when it comes to ranking the quarterbacks, there's the top four, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson. And then after that, I think it's a debate of Stafford versus Daniels. Herbert is seven on the list. I do not believe that Herbert, C.J. Stroud, who shockingly didn't make the top 10, but I do not think that that group of Herbert and C.J. Stroud and whomever else you want to put in there with them, I would put maybe Dak, you know, maybe in that group with them. I don't think they're in the same discussion with Daniels or Stafford, and I don't think that Daniels and Stafford are in the discussion with Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Jackson. But again, I was a little surprised, because these are coaches, executives, and scouts, and this is a, hey, right now, who's better, Jaden Daniels or Matthew Stafford? And they're saying Jaden Daniels. If I had to win a game, I'd rather have Matthew Stafford at quarterback than Jaden Daniels. That's just me. But I can accept Jaden Daniels at five and Matthew Stafford at six. What I can't accept is I can't accept, like, Matthew Stafford ahead of Joe Burrow. I can't accept that. But again, they have it couched where it's Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson. And move that list however you want. I think we all agree. But what I was really surprised by was the commentary surrounding Jaden Daniels. And again, these are executives, coordinators, scouts, coaches, etc. Quote, this was, I believe, an NFC coach who prepared against Jaden Daniels. This is an NFL coordinator who prepared for Daniels last season. Quote, single-handedly took over one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, and a dinosaur at tight end, and an average offensive line at best. The kid can read coverages, throw with accuracy and touch to all levels of the field, and is just as dangerous as Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen with his legs, and has a clutch factor to him because this team already believes that if he has the ball with a chance to win, he's going to find a way. If he repeats anything close to his rookie year, he's no lower than third on this list next year. That's very high praise. An NFC coordinator echoed a similar sentiment. Quote, won 12 games with a mediocre at best defense and just a decent offensive roster around him. And the reason that commentary, when it came to Jaden Daniels, stood out to me is because I don't keep up with the Commanders like I keep up with the Titans. Am I aware of what's going on in Washington? Yes, but I'm not more aware of what's going on in Washington than I am with any of the other 32 teams, with the exception of the Titans. But I'll be honest, I don't know how much of the Commanders' success was because of Jaden Daniels, and how much of the success was because of what their new general manager, Adam Peters, what their head coach, Dan Quinn, put around Jaden Daniels. I mean, you can sit there and you can complain about their team and you can say, that was an average at best offensive line. Yes, but it was an offensive line that went and added guard Nick Allegretti from the Chiefs and Pro Bowl center Tyler Biadasz from the Cowboys to replace guys like Sadiq Charles. That's a massive upgrade. The entire defense in Washington was completely redone in the offseason. Adam Peters brought in something like 26 free agents in his first offseason as general manager. But at the same time, the guys that played against Jaden Daniels said, no, 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 it was Daniels that carried that team. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know exactly how much of the success goes to Jaden Daniels versus how much goes to the success of the people that drafted Jaden Daniels to put Jaden Daniels into a position to where he could succeed. But the reason this is important is because if the Titans are going to make this work with Cam Ward, Cam's going to have to do it himself. I am not sure if Cam Ward is not one of these absolute superstars. And it does look like Jaden Daniels is going to be an absolute superstar. And Joe Burrow is an absolute superstar. And I do not see, if Cam Ward is not one of those guys, I do not see how this works out favorably for Cam Ward or for the Titans. I am not convinced that Brian Callahan is a good coach. And I don't know how you could be convinced that Brian Callahan is a good coach either. The Titans' defense is bad. And they lost their leading sacker from a year ago, while their best player is constantly complaining about how his lack of production is not his fault. Unless they struck gold with Femi Oladejo in the second round, the Titans are going to have even bigger sack problems this year than they did last year without Harold Landry. Their best defensive back is an injured safety who did not get a single vote in the top 10 category. Their tight end room, which is incredibly important for a young quarterback, is horrendous, and they have a one wide receiver. No good coach, no good defense, no good tight end, one receiver. You tell me how this is going to work out for a rookie. And by the way, they opened the year against top defense Denver with the reigning defensive player of the year on their team on the road and Jared Verse and Braden Fisk in week two. Talk about feeding the young guy to the wolves. That's exactly what the Titans, unless they start Brandon Allen at quarterback, that's exactly what they're going to do. They are going to feed the young guy to the wolves. But sometimes the player, the young guy, the quarterback, is so special that they can be fed to the wolves, they can be put in that situation, and their talent and their ability and their makeup rise above it. Again, it doesn't happen very often. Kansas City went out of their way to make sure that Patrick Mahomes did not get fed to the wolves. Buffalo started Nathan Peterman at the beginning of Josh Allen's rookie year, and Lamar Jackson sat the bench for half the season. The only guy in the top four who got fed to the wolves was Joe Burrow. And then there's Jaden Daniels. Now, Titan fans are convinced that Cam Ward is that guy, and Cam Ward can be fed to the wolves, and he will take it, and he will build off of it, and there's no stopping Cam Ward, and I think that's because they want to be convinced of it. Nobody actually knows whether or not Cam Ward can survive the ass-whooping that he is either about to get or that he's going to be so good that he'll be able to prevent. It's easy to say, hey, it's going to be tough on you with no tight end out there. and a defense that's not very good and a head coach who's not very good either. But good luck against Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, and good luck on the road at Denver and altitude. Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Again, that has all the makings of a complete and total ass whooping. But if it's true, like those evaluators said, that Jaden Daniels went to a bad team and that it wasn't about the moves that the Commanders made by adding an entire defense through free agency or whatnot, then maybe Cam Ward can be what Jaden Daniels was. What I find to be more likely, which is often the case in the NFL, Jaden Daniels is probably getting more credit than he deserves because of what the team did around him. But again, I didn't cover the Commanders. These guys played against the Commanders. They're the ones that are saying, hey, Jaden Daniels took over one of the worst franchises in the NFL, and boom, look at them right in the NFC title game. It should be noted that one of the big steps in all of this was them getting a new owner, but that's okay. Because, again, that's what it's going to take. If Cam Ward's going to be successful, that's what it's going to take. Cam Ward is going to have to carry the team as a rookie on a really bad team with what I think might be a really bad coach. Good luck to Cam. Let's hope. I mean, hey, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels do exist. Maybe he could be number three. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I do think there was a surprise on the list at the very, very end. And I hope you guys, when you look at the totality of this list, I hope you guys see what I see, which is the moral of the story that fans probably need to hear. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game.
I think one of the things unique to my journey in this profession is I've done it before, too. You know, I've been a part of a young quarterback, number one overall pick, coming into a team that picked number one for a reason. You know, and we weren't good enough last year, so we're picking first, and we have a chance to add a really good player with the first overall pick, whatever it ends up being. But there is a lot of things that I learned from that first lesson of when you bring in a player like that, that'll help us in the process.
That was Brian Callahan. Hey, I've done this before with Joe Burrow. So I have not watched yet, and I'm going to, but I have not watched yet the Netflix series Quarterback, the new one, the season just came out. And apparently I have seen the clips though online, and Joe Burrow was just furious after the Bengals beat the Titans. And he was sitting there talking about how it was embarrassing and it was a terrible performance. The team sucked. And Zach Taylor was trying to cheer him up. You know, oh, no, Joe, you know, it's okay. We did okay. We need to celebrate the wins. And Joe's like, it's freaking embarrassing. I actually agree with Joe. You know, Joe's not trying to sugarcoat the fact they beat the Titans by 10. The Titans were a little league team last year. Might be a little league team this year. But when I saw Zach Taylor, who I don't think is a very good coach, when I saw Zach Taylor trying to cheer up Joe Burrow, I thought, that's Callahan. You know, oh, it'll be okay. It's fine. You know, everybody, we're all friends. It's, you know, we, oh, it's a great, it's a, yeah, that doesn't really work unless the other guy doesn't listen to any of that and is really the head coach of the team, which I think Joe Burrow is. So maybe add that to the list of things Cam Ward's going to have to be. He's going to have to be the coach too. CBS put together a list, and I don't know who Cody Benjamin, I don't even know who that is, but he put together a list at CBS ranking the head coaches in the NFL. Number 32, Brian Callahan. By the way, number 30 was Brian Schottenheimer. So Brian Callahan, worst coach in the NFL. We shall see. Again, is he the worst coach in the NFL? I don't know. I just have not seen much of an improvement, which I was expecting. So add that to the list of things that Cam Ward is going to have to do right away. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Gorilla is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Gorilla, go ahead.
Jared, you are a hater, man. You are a hater. Do you just wake up that way or were you born that way, man? I don't. You're just a hater, man. You're going to fix your girly man lips to say that Callahan is a bad quarterback, a coach, man, and that we don't have a star in Cam Ward. Looking at his highlights, looking at what this kid has achieved. have you ever thought for once, Jared, the reason why you're seeing success with these NFL rookie quarterbacks is because they're leaning into what these quarterbacks do well?
So I'm going to – you've just said a lot of things. Hold on. You've said a lot of things, and I'm going to give you a chance to respond, but I want to go over these things before we get to it. Let's start with the Callahan front. Are you convinced Callahan is a good coach?
I'm very convinced that Callahan is a good coach.
Let's go to number two. You said that Cam Ward was a star because have I seen his highlights and what he's accomplished. Well, let's compare this to Vince Young and Mariota. Because Cam Ward didn't even get to the ACC championship game. Vince Young won the national title. Marcus Mariota won the Heisman Trophy and got to the national championship game. Again, Cam Ward didn't even get to the ACC championship game. Should I be excited about what Cam Ward's accomplished?
You know why? Terry Robiski is not your defense, your offensive coordinator. You don't have Les Steckel. Well, it wasn't Les Steckel. Whoever the bum was with Field Goal Fisher. When we got BY, what they tried to do was they tried to build, force these boys to run their offense instead of taking what these young men did well and just build on that right there. That's the reason why we destroy quarterbacks here.
Okay.
Come on now.
But you think Callahan and Nick Holtz are the answer?
I definitely believe Callahan and Nick Holtz are the answer.
Okay.
I definitely believe. If you watch this kid is excellent far as space. He's excellent far as throwing his receivers open. He's excellent far as putting the ball on at an angle on the right shoulder or the left shoulder. He has all the intangibles. And he's a great decision maker. I didn't want him early on. I didn't want him until I checked his highlights. He's smart. He's intelligent, man. Come on.
Did you check the lowlights too, or just the highlights?
And then check this out. Check this out, Jared. Number two, when are you going to sit down and just say that Will Levis stunk? The offensive line stunk. Man, you're around this stuff more than I am. You should have these stats and statistics and all of these things, these metrics, right in front of you. You know that quarterback play decimated our defensive performance.
Okay.
I mean, you go three and
so
out.
So how did you – I'm going to ask you one final question. I'm going to ask you one final question. How did you feel about Will Levis this time last year?
How did I feel about – I was actually on the hype train for Will. I thought Will
– Shocking. I know. Gorilla, thank you for your call.
On,
shocking. I mean, come on now. Like, how do you – Jared, just admit it. Levis sucked. Let me tell you something. Last year at training camp, they had the joint practices with the Seahawks. And I went to the joint practices. And the first day of joint practices, I sat there and I watched the offense. And I'm not sure they got a first down. I don't think they got a first down the entire day. And I watched them. And they were awful. And I remember sitting there on the field because the way it works during training camp, and I do enjoy training camp because it's fun to go out to training camp and to tell everybody what happened at camp, but I also kind of loathe the fact that, like, I cannot really prepare for the show. It's me at training camp. Then I hop in the car, jump into the studio, and I'm like, all right, here's what happened today at training camp. So I'm kind of thinking in my head during the training camp shows what's going to be on the show that day. And I'm watching the Titans offense, not again, get a first down against the Seahawks. No disrespect to them, not exactly the 85 Bears. I'm watching them stink it up, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if this were a game, and I know it's just practice, but if this were a game, what the reaction from the fans would be is, this team sucks, this offense sucks, and Will Levis is a bum. So I put that at 4 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock that day, I said, if you had been at practice today, which you had not been, but I had, if you had been at practice today, you would have walked out and said, Will Levis sucks. If practice had been a game, you would have said, Will Levis sucks. And immediately, all the replies, Twitter, text line, callers, Jared, you're a hater. Oh, Jared, you just want to be negative. You're the most negative person on the planet. Now, the same people are saying, come on, Jared, you have to admit Levis was terrible. I agree. But I admit that Levis was terrible because he was terrible. You're saying that Levis is terrible because it is convenient so that you feel better about the other aspects of your team, which were also horrible. You know, Levis didn't play every game last year. And when Mason Rudolph played quarterback, you lost those games too. You lost to Mac Jones when Mason Rudolph was quarterback. So, easy there. Again, look at what Cam Ward has accomplished. Yeah. What Cam Ward has accomplished in college compared to Vince Young ain't squat. That's why I don't get too excited about what he did in college, because I remember Vince Young. And I remember Mariota. Those guys were better prospects than Cam Ward was. And quite frankly, it wasn't very close. Vince Young as a prospect goes off the board an hour before Cam Ward does. So I'm not going to get too hyped about it. 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in on the phone, so that's exactly what we're going to do. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Damian Woody, do you agree with Jaden Daniels, a second-year quarterback already as the fifth best and the top quarterback in the NFC?
You're damn right I do.
Let's go.
Damn right I do. Listen, I grew up a Washington fan. I've seen this organization inept for over two decades. That young man steps foot in the building, and that group was one game away from the Super Bowl. That is not a fluke, my friend. It is not a fluke. This man is uber talented. Not only is he a great athlete, he's calm, he's collected, he processes well. He's accurate. He plays with timing and rhythm. Like, he has all those things. And as this franchise continues to build this thing out, man, listen, next year we could be talking about a guy in the top three.
Damian Woody, do you agree?
That was Damian Woody on ESPN Today talking again about the new list, Jaden Daniels, number five. Again, if I had to win a game today, I don't. You can pick them however you want in the first order of Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson. That's how I would rank them, even though I think Joe Burrow, like, if I had to pick one guy, I'd pick Burrow, because I think Burrow is the one guy in that group that has a moronic coach, and yet he overcomes it. But I'm fine with Burrow being third. You know, if I were to rank the best quarterbacks, Burrow probably would be third. Lamar fourth. Again, if you want to take Lamar first, be my guest. In all seriousness, like, that's an acceptable take. Not mine, but it's acceptable. Jaden Daniels is five. Stafford is six. Personally, I would take Stafford over Daniels, but Daniels was absolutely worth the hype last year. But I still do wonder how much of it was Jaden Daniels and how much of it was what Adam Peters did in the offseason and what Dan Quinn did. There was one thing on the list. Again, this isn't ESPN's opinion. This is a poll they've conducted where they've talked to coaches, executives, and scouts. But there was a quarterback on the list that I think highlights really what everybody needs to know about the quarterback position in the NFL. Baker Mayfield checks in on the list at number 10. And, oh, Baker, with this team, they've really figured it out. And Baker this, Baker that, and Baker looks better, and Baker in that. The back end of the list, after Justin Herbert at 7, is really what I would call average starting quarterbacks. A guy that I could probably get every offseason. Jared Goff is number 8. Jalen Hurts is number 9. And again, Baker Mayfield is 10. Again, if you really wanted Jared Goff, you could have had Jared Goff. Baker Mayfield is on his 4th team in the NFL. Again, Jalen Hurts, I know people get all upset every time I say this, but he's got the best team around him and the best coordinators, and quite frankly, it's not even close. When Jalen didn't have the coordinators, yeah, he was getting shellacked in the wild card round at Tampa Bay. The moral of the story here is, outside of the elite of the elite, which again is Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Jackson, and it looks like Jaden Daniels has a shot to be in that group, Stafford is out of that group. And I'm not sure Stafford was ever in that group. But unless you have the elite of the elite, you're going to end up with Ryan Tannehill. Because that's what all those guys are. That's what Jalen Hurts is. That's what Jared Goff is. That's what Baker Mayfield is. Put Baker in a bad organization with a bad owner, with a bad general manager, and you get Baker in Carolina. Put Baker Mayfield on a good team with two receivers, with stability in the front office, Baker's a top 10 quarterback. Give Jared Goff all the weapons with the Rams and Todd Gurley's healthy and Sean McVay's calling the plays, Jared Goff, league MVP candidate. Take it away, Jared Goff, four-win quarterback. That's how it works. And so, again, when it comes to Cam Ward, the hope has to be that Cam is one of those four guys. And a lot of the gurus did not see that when it came to Cam Ward. They said, look, you know, yeah, he's the best quarterback in this class, but he's not one of those type of guys. He doesn't project to be that type of guy. And yet Titan fans have just decided, oh, no, he's going to be one of those guys, Jared. It's like it's more likely that he's Ryan Tannehill, which is what Jared Goff is. Jared Goff is Ryan Tannehill. Baker Mayfield is Ryan Tannehill. Sam Darnold is Ryan Tannehill. It's all the same. Once you get past the elite category, or in the case of Jaden Daniels, maybe Drake May, maybe Caleb Williams, maybe those guys, like the potential to be elite, once you get past that, it's all pretty much the same guy. The one guy I was surprised on the list didn't crack the top 10, who I certainly would take over Jared Goff, who I certainly would take over Jalen Hurts, who I certainly would take over Baker Mayfield, is CJ Stroud. That, I'm not going to lie, I was a little surprised. 615-737-1025, Jared from Spring Hill says, not going to lie, this season I'm not excited for. The last three seasons I have lost so much excitement. No players and coach on the hot seat, plus a rookie quarterback. I do wonder, when it comes to next Monday's show. So I'm on tomorrow from 3 to 6. Chase and Big Joe are going to be doing the 2 to 3 hour because they're doing noon to 3 live from SEC Media Days. Good for them. Way to go, Chase and Big Joe. But Chase and Big Joe will be on until 3. Then we'll be on 3 to 6. Then I'm off, and I'll be back on Monday. And when I get back on Monday, that's kind of the beginning of the end of the year for me because we work during football season, as you all know. I mean, my kid was born on Wednesday, and I was back at work on Monday. The reason I say this is because Monday's show, every year, the Monday of the start of training camp, and I believe training camp starts on Tuesday, but Monday's show every training camp year is the official expectation set. And we divide the games up by games we think the Titans will win, like we feel confident they'll win, games they should win, toss-ups, games they should lose, and games we know they'll lose. For instance, they play the Chiefs this year. They will lose to the Chiefs. They play Indy twice. Toss-up. Point being, every year that is how we determine what our expectations for the season are. You take the should wins and the should loses and the will wins and the will loses. You add them up together. And then you split the toss-ups and that sets the expectations. And last year, on this program, we were at, I think, 4 wins, and Ian was at 3 wins. Oh, you guys are haters, and oh, you don't understand. I will be shocked what we will have. I'll be shocked based off the schedule if it's got the Titan expectations above 3. And I haven't looked at it. I haven't done it yet. Again, that's next Monday's program, but I am shocked. Brian says, is it that Brian Callahan is a bad coach, or did he have a crap situation where Titans fans were screaming, let Rand cook? So here's why I think Brian Callahan's probably a bad coach, and why I think Brian Callahan's probably a better assistant coach than he is a head coach. I can go with you that everything last year was Rand Carthon's fault. Rand Carthon sucked. Rand Carthon had no business being general manager of a tiddlywink squad, much less an NFL team. The fact that Amy fell for that crap is really, really disconcerting. Rand Carthon was incompetent. So if you want to pin everything on Rand Carthon, I can do that. But But then Brian Callahan, after he survived last season, which not every coach would have, especially when the guy who hired him didn't survive, when Brian Callahan didn't make any changes really to the coaching staff other than the special teams coach, I thought, oh my God, this guy's head is truly lodged up his ass. And then the real straw that broke the camel's back for me was when Brian Callahan got up there at the start of OTAs and he started talking about that 8-team minigame system that he invited in this offseason, and that was going to make a difference as to whether or not this team was going to line up correctly this upcoming season. I thought, oh my God, this guy is a peewee coach. He's not an NFL coach. He's a peewee coach. And we laughed and we laughed. And I know the local scribes are like, well, but Jared, at least he's trying something new. Yeah, how about we try a new offensive coordinator instead of, well, you were 3 minutes late to the meeting, -4 points. And then when I saw for the umpteenth time Callahan and Denard Wilson make excuse after excuse for Jeffrey Simmons this offseason, for me, I just said, he hasn't changed. He's the same pushover he was last year. He's the same sunshine and rainbow pumper that last season looked everybody in the face and said before the first game, Will Levis is ready for this. Will Levis is why I took this job. He's everything you want in a quarterback. Same guy. Same guy. I'm not going to say what I said about Rand, that he doesn't know football, because I think Callahan does know football. But I think he's more of a salesman instead of a sales manager. I think he's probably a better assistant coach, guy that helps out the player more than a head coach. Because I'm just not sure he holds anybody accountable. 615-737-1025, which is the phone number. A lot of people still want to weigh in, so we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 and 106 for the game.
Brian, we've talked a lot about lessons from last season, how it's affected the offseason approach for the players. Mm-hmm. How has it affected you as a coach, the lessons you take from last year? How has it affected the staff? Or do you find you're going about this job differently or no?
Yeah, there's definitely some things I go about it differently. I still think I'm pretty true to who I am as far as my interactions with people and players and the staff. But there's a different urgency that goes on here for me, for how I deal with the staff in particular. I think a lot of the things I've learned, I've tried to put into practice. You know, it's one thing to like reflect and say, oh, I could have done this and this better. I've been pretty intentional about doing the things that I think we needed to change. I've sort of attacked those things, and they've been a part of my daily interactions and process. And a lot of it was kind of through this offseason program that we developed. And how do we best win football games, and how do I best put our team in position to do that? How do I coach that better? And how do I do a better job from a leadership perspective for our players and our staff? So there's a lot of things that go into that, but I think I've not strayed too far from who I am and how I interact, but I've also been really focused and intentional about what needed to be better.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan during the offseason. I mean, again, he's like, you know, I spent a lot of time with this offseason program and deciding what I need to do for us to be better. I'd say that's a good idea. Maybe get some good coaches on the staff. I saw a headline when I was out last week, and there was a headline. It was a tweet with an article you could click, and I didn't read the article because I don't care. But the headline was, Nick Holtz details the challenges Cam Ward will undergo as a rookie. And I was wondering, is one of those challenges Nick Holtz? Because everybody tells me how good these Titan coaches are, but they have no resume to speak of when it comes to whether or not they are actually good. Well, Denard Wilson was the secondary coach for the Ravens. Whoa. By the way, the Ravens lost their defensive coordinator. He went to Seattle to be the head coach. They didn't promote Denard Wilson. The year before that, Denard Wilson was in Philadelphia. They lost their defensive coordinator to Arizona to go be the head coach. They didn't promote Denard Wilson. I'm just saying. One texter says, is Baker Mayfield the Ryan Tannehill of Tampa Bay? Then says, be honest, did you just steal my take? Tell the truth. Newt, back me up here. The Ryan Tannehill discussion was already on the grid as of like 10 a.m. this morning.
Yes, sir, it was.
That was not something new. Sorry, texter, I did not steal that. But again, this is how it works when it comes to quarterback play in the NFL. This is why I would have made the trade with the Giants if what Adam Schefter reported is true and the Giants offered next year's number one pick and this year's number one pick, which I have been told is not true. Again, I'm not going to come out here and say Adam Schefter's reporting that he had on ESPN on draft night. I'm not going to say that Adam's making it up, because my guess is that Adam Schefter probably heard from some people in the know. I'm just telling you what I've been told is that New York did not offer two number ones, which does kind of change my opinion on a potential trade. I would need to see the whole details of the trade, but I would have made the trade. And I would have not taken Cam Ward. Because, again, right now in the league, there are four guys, five if you count Jaden Daniels, who are true X-factors. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Jackson. That's it. Everybody else to me either has a cap or a ceiling, or is Justin Herbert or C.J. Stroud where you could see them becoming stars, but they're not necessarily there yet. Everybody else, I think, is dependent on coaching and players around them. And I think Cam Ward's going to be the same way. And I think Cam Ward's got bad coaching around him. I think Cam Ward's got bad players around him. I think Cam Ward is at a team where the owner is dysfunctional. Who knows if the general manager is any good or not. And that makes me think it is more likely than not that Cam Ward will fail. But that's where I go back to the Tannehill thing, which is Baker Mayfield, bad organization, bum. Baker Mayfield, good organization, top 10 quarterback. Go put Jalen Hurts on the Arizona Cardinals and see how he does. Joey from Bellevue says, I'm curious if Callahan will kick out players from practice during camp for fighting or throwing punches, because fighting will inevitably happen. You know, I think with Jeffrey Simmons, I think that he enjoys kind of this power trip that he has with the Titans organization, where he could walk in on Brian Callahan's desk, drop his trousers, open his ass cheeks, take a steaming dump right there on the desk, and Callahan would say, thank you, Jeffrey. I think he enjoys that. I do think he's going to challenge Callahan this year. And I think Callahan, like the coach he was last year, is going to sit there and take it. Because I don't think Callahan has a backbone. I mean, I know I've been hard on Callahan for the last couple of weeks, ever since this whole offseason charade and, you know, oh, Jeffrey, he's great even though he's not here. And I told everyone this was a transformative offensive program. And Jeffrey Simmons said, F you, coach, by not showing up. But he's the best. He's great. He's awesome. Don't blame him for anything. It's all great. It's all perfect. I know I've been hard on Callahan. I'm going to be honest. Some of this, like, I'm trying to push Brian Callahan into a position where Brian Callahan has to push back, where Brian Callahan has to show that he's got some stones, because I'm not convinced he does. So, again, if you don't want me to think that Jeffrey Simmons can walk into your office and crap all over your desk and that you won't say a freaking word to him about it, then show me some scruples this year at training camp. I'll tell you right now, if Brian Callahan came up to me and ripped my ass in front of everybody, now look, I wouldn't back the bill. Oh, I'm sorry. I wouldn't do that. But if he did that, that would probably show me more than Callahan being the nice guy that he is. And I'm not doubting that Callahan's a nice guy. I'm not. I just think that every good coach has to have the balance of when to be nice and when to be a real a-hole. And I don't think he can do that. I just don't think he can. Mark, in all caps, have you lost your mind, Stillman? Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback. Ryan Tannehill was a joke. I mean, again, when Jared Goff, you know what's so funny about my relationship with Jared Goff? Now, I've never met Jared Goff, but my personal relationship with Jared Goff is one of my favorites, because the way I have felt about Jared Goff has always been a reflection of how everybody else feels about Jared Goff and not anything to do with Jared Goff. I've always thought Jared Goff was a solid quarterback, period. End of story. A solid starting quarterback. When he was with the Rams and they were lighting up the scoreboard and he was signing for the most guaranteed money in the history of the NFL, I was like, this guy's not that good. Oh, Jared, the Rams, it's the super offense. It's the future. It's the next. Remember he and Mahomes had that game where it was like 59-58? They threw for 800 yards each. It was an instant classic. And I'm like, he's not that good. Like, Todd Gurley is a great back. Sean McVay is a great play caller. He's got good receivers. He's not that good. Oh, Jared, you don't understand. Then he goes to the Lions. And the Lions are just freaking piss poor when he gets there. He was the throw-in in the trade. They went 3-10. Or he went 3-10 that first year with the Lions. And then everybody said he sucked. Jared Goff sucks. This is awful. This is a Buck Rising, Robbie Stanley. These guys are blowing my phone and be like, Jared Goff, he sucks. And then last year, Jared Goff, MVP candidate. I'm like, he's the same guy. He's the same guy he was with the Rams. He's the same guy he was when they were 3-10, and he's the same guy at 15-2. It's just what's around him is different. Same way with Tannehill. The same guy. I mean, come on now. One texter says, let's face it, any coach in the NFL could have won 3 games with that team last year. Any coach. We need the coach that could have won 7 games with that team last year. I kind of agree. I mean, again, the games they won. They beat the Dolphins' third-string quarterback when Will Levis got hurt after throwing an interception right into the butt cheeks of a defensive tackle. They beat the New England Patriots, who were the worst team in football last year, and it took a miracle for them to win that game. And then they beat the Texans in a game that, again, they won because one of the more reliable kickers in the NFL missed a 28-yard kick. But hey, they did win 3 games. Let's not take anything away from them. Let's be honest. 615-737-1025 here on the program. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. Somebody says, I guarantee Jared Goff does not have the scruples to lay a giant loaf on someone's desk. Hey, I'm just calling it how I see it. What would Brian Callahan do? Titans are getting ready to play a game on Sunday. Jeffrey Simmons, who the NFL is telling you is the only good player on your team, walks in and craps all over his desk. Would he bench him? 615-737-1025. So I'm happy that Vanderbilt football is not a joke anymore. They're not. But there is a rhetoric that I think maybe we need to tone down a little bit. We'll get to that next. Stumbling Company, 1025, 106 for the game.